So it's Update Talking News Stoke. It's Tim and Liz, and we're going to do the final batch with myself, Tim and Liz, but we do have some more batches coming up with Teresa and Cliff. So in batch number four, Lizzie's headlines are:
Despicable dad threatened his own kids with a knife, but they told a teacher. And the Staffordshire town that could double in size with plans for 1,534 homes.
Okay, so my headlines coming up are: woman left in hospital after Stoke-on-Trent Park dog attack, and happy birthday, Trenton Monkey Forest, opened 20 years ago this week. So before we go into those news stories, it's the answer time, or answer time, for Liz's one and only quiz. So here we go.
Okay, number one. Which Latin phrase translates as something for something? That's quid pro quo. Khartoum is the capital of which African country? It is the capital of Sudan. Number three, which former British coin was worth a quarter of an old penny? That's a farthing. If you know that, you must be at least as nearly as old as me, or a bit older. Because I just about remember, well, I remember them being in circulation. I think they had a little robin on the back. Number four. Manitoba is a province of which country? It is a province of Canada. Number five. What type of fruit is a golden delicious? It's an apple. Number six. What is the technical name for the thigh bone? It's the femur. Number seven. What type of creature is a stickleback? It's a fish. Number eight. What is Hibernia the Latin name for? A lot of people think it's Scotland, but it's not. Hibernia is Ireland, the whole of Ireland. Number nine. Who is the most commonly recognised patron saint of shoemakers and cobblers? It's Saint Crispin. Number ten. In 1980, Brighton opened the first beach dedicated to which members of society? That's naturists. And we were in Brighton this weekend, but I didn't see any. Perhaps it was too cold or rainy. Well, it wasn't cold, but it was a bit rainy. And my bonus, heavy metal man Ozzy Osbourne died on the 22nd of July. That's yesterday. What did he have in common with the heir to the throne, Prince William? And he also has this in common with me, because we all support Aston Villa. And if there are any Aston Villa supporters listening, I am not confident this season. And normally I'm so confident I put £10 on them to win things. Well, I'm not confident. So that's my quiz.
So you've not put £10 on this year then?
I feel very worried because our best players are all going.
Okay, so first story for me then, I'm going to read for batch number four, is woman left in hospital after Stoke-on-Trent Park dog attack. A woman was left needing hospital treatment after being bitten by a dog in a Stoke-on-Trent Park attack. The victim, who's in his 30s, was on a path near Smithfield Park and off Smallwood Close in Fenton. It's a bit confusing here because it says a woman and then it says was in his 30s. So I'm guessing that means was in her 30s. Was on a path near Smithfield Park and off Smallwood Close in Fenton when the Rottweiler pounced. She suffered an injury to her chest. Now Staffordshire Police are appealing for a witness to the attack, which happened at 4:20 p.m. on Thursday, June the 26th. The man walking the dog, which was on a chain-style lead, is described as wearing a grey hooded sweatshirt and dark trousers. A Staffordshire Police spokesperson said, "We're appealing for information after a woman was bitten by a dog in Stoke-on-Trent. We were called onto a pathway near to Smithpool Park and off Smallwood Close in Fenton. The victim, a woman in her 30s, reported being bitten by the dog at around 20 past 4, causing an injury to her chest, which has required hospital treatment. We're keen to speak to anyone in the area at the time who may have witnessed this incident. Anyone with information or relevant doorbell footage is asked to contact us. Witnesses should call 101, quoting incident number 928 of June the 26th, to report anonymously. You can contact Crime Stoppers on free phone 0800 555 111. So over to Liz, who's going to do the next story for us in batch four.
I'm going to apologise in advance because there's some swearing in this article. So I'm just going to say F, and you can use your imagination for what it stands for. Despicable dad threatened his own children with a knife, but they told a teacher. A thug who told the children he was a bad guy as he beat up their mum in front of them has dodged jail. Anthony Speakman threatened his then partner and her children with a kitchen knife. Stoke-on-Trent Crown Court heard he also battered the woman on multiple occasions and was also cruel to the family dog. The 33-year-old was arrested at home after the victim called 999 as Speakman again turned violent. Barry White prosecuting said, on the 29th of January, there was a 999 call made by the victim. She said her partner was kicking off and had smashed the house up. She said it had been a verbal altercation only. There were two children present who told police officers that Dad was angry and frightened them. They said that he had grabbed a knife from the kitchen and threatened them all. The victim was doing her daughter's hair earlier in the day, and the defendant kicked the woman in the stomach and said he would F her up and hit her twice as hard. He said to the children, "Dad's a bad guy. Don't forget to keep an eye out for Mum before she bleeds to death." He told the children not to tell anyone what life was like at home, but the children told their teachers, who had a meeting with the victim. He had messaged her using his son's tablet, threatening her and the children, saying, "You're effing dead. I'm going to F you up, F you and your kids. I'm going to knock you clean out when you're back in front of the kids." The victim returned with the children at 3:45 p.m. and the defendant had locked her out. He eventually let her in the house, but he'd trashed things and things were thrown about the place. He told her he'd stab and kill her, and he pulled out a 6 to 7 inch kitchen knife. Speakman of Clovelly Walk, Burslem, pleaded guilty to controlling and coercive behaviour, threats to kill and two common assault charges. Matthew Ness, mitigating, said, "This is in essence four incidents where there has been fear of violence, including threats to kill with a knife. The victim asserts herself as a robust individual and says she wasn't in fear, she was just fearful for her children. He accepts he has poor anger management skills and poor emotional control and says the deficit he has is exacerbated by depression, low self-esteem and low self-worth, compounded by excessive cannabis use. He doesn't like the person he becomes when those factors are present. He is genuinely remorseful. He feels disgusted with himself when confronted with what he has done. He has referred himself to Mind and the Staffordshire Alcohol and Drug Service. He has a £100 a week cannabis addiction, which he has now reduced to about a third of that." Speakman was sentenced to 22 months in prison, suspended for 2 years. He was ordered to participate in 30 rehabilitation activity requirement days, a mental health treatment requirement, and he must pay the statutory surcharge. Judge Richard McConaghy told him, "Throughout December 2024 and January 2025, you made your partner's life intolerable. You were abusive, threatening and violent towards her. These incidents would happen in front of children. On three occasions, there were incidents when you were violent towards them. The victim took videos of it on one occasion while she was curled up crying. You told her, get up before you told her, get up before you batter her. I can also hear you addressing the children, saying that you were a bad guy and you were going to leave their mum bleeding to death. On the 29th of January, you were threatening her all day, sending messages about getting you the wrong tobacco. The texts you sent were vile. She received a text that day from school asking her to come in because your children told them about how abusive you were at home. When she arrived home, she was locked out. You were having a tantrum that day. You took things significantly further and threatened to stab all three of them. Your children were hysterical. You didn't have a knife at that point, but the victim went to close the kitchen drawer to make sure you didn't have access to one. You physically moved her with force and grabbed one. She called 999. You told your children it was her fault you'd never see them again. How dare you? The fault was all yours. And to put that wedge between your partner and your own children is despicable. Your conduct was to maximise fear and distress. You claim you hadn't left the house in 3 years and you were entirely dependent on the victim and you became angry. You need to learn it's not all about you. This is about the way you treated those who should have felt safe in your presence. They cannot be blamed for the way in which you behaved.
So, my second and final story off me for batch number four, there's one more coming from Liz, is Happy Birthday, Trenton Monkey Forest. It opened 20 years this week. Now, one of North Staffordshire's best visitor attractions has now been open for 20 years. Trenton Monkey Forest first opened late July 2005. And back in 2005, it would have cost £5 for adults and £3.50 for children. But it's a bit more now. Trenton Leisure Operations Director John Lowther predicted the Monkey Forest will be a huge visitor attraction and enhances once again the uniqueness of the Trenton project. The 60-acre Trenton Monkey Forest opened with 146 Barbary monkeys from Morocco and Algeria. They had spent 6 months in quarantine at the Monkey Forest before visitors were allowed in. Manager Guillaume de Turquim said at the time, "I am very pleased at how well the monkeys have adapted to the public. Visitors aren't allowed to touch the monkeys. The monkeys are friendly but receive affection from family members and don't like to be touched by humans and keep their distance. The Monkey Forest is a unique experience. It gives visitors the excitement of being able to observe monkeys while they roam freely around them as if they were in the wild." The Sentinel spoke to visitors on the opening day. Jean Steele, age 58, of Woodside Avenue, Brown Edge, said, "It's about time that we had something like this in Trenton, which will hopefully bring in people from other areas, showing that Stoke-on-Trent is more than just an industrial town." Pam Robinson, age 59, from St. John's Way, Sandbach, said, "It's lovely to see the monkeys maintaining their dignity. They are allowed to live in peace without interference." And Nicola Edwards, age 19 at the time, of Enderley Street in Newcastle, said, "I love animals, and to have something like this on Stoke-on-Trent is great. It's a brilliant opportunity for people who would otherwise never have had the chance to see them." So over to Liz, who's going to do the final story for us now in batch number four.
The Staffordshire town that could double in size with plans for 1,534 homes. Residents are demanding a referendum amid fears new housing will see their town almost double in size. A petition calling for Eccleshaw to be protected from overdevelopment has also been signed by more than 1,600 people. The issue was raised at a packed public meeting. It included a map showing 10 sites around Eccleshaw earmarked for proposed development. Developers Muller, Belway, Taylor Wimpey and Bloor have submitted plans for 6 of the sites. The sites include land north and south of Shaw's Lane, between Stone Road and Stafford Road, south of Stone Road and off Green Lane. In total, 1,534 new homes are proposed across the 10 sites. Meeting Chairman and Parish Councillor Chris Wilkins said, "It is an amazing turnout and shows what an important issue it is. The developers want to almost double the size of Eccleshaw over the coming years. We are facing an unprecedented wave of house building, and the defences we had in the local plan and neighbourhood plan are no longer there. We're almost defenceless from a planning point of view. The National Planning Policy Framework has been updated and is asking for a 5-year supply of housing, but they say Stafford Borough Council has not provided that, and the house building target over 1 year has gone up under the old plan from 350 to 728 to meet new regulations. Developers have jumped on this and they have used it to justify building on every available space in Eccleshall. Stafford Borough Council say they are giving priority to brownfield and greyfield sites, but developers have targeted greenfield agricultural land being used for food production. Petition organiser and ward councillor Jeremy Putt said, "We need to look at the structural defects in Eccleshall. We all know the issues around car parking, yet we're going to put more houses around Eccleshall. That seems to me inherently wrong. I'm expecting the first applications to arrive at the end of this month and August." Businessman Martin Peat is calling for the referendum. Mr. Peat said, "It is within the residents' rights to be able to hold a referendum in our parish. The parish council are on notice to request the referendum, which would be an agreed single question with a yes or no answer. The parish council declare it will cost around £5,000 to £8,000 and Stafford Borough Council would have to conduct it. We consider this to be a very small price to pay." He added, "It's very easy to do nothing. It's a lot harder to fight it, which we all must all do. We accept some building, but this is excessive for Eccleshall. We're not against all building, it's just mass building. It will murder the fabric of society we have in Eccleshall."
So many thanks for listening to Batches 1 to 4 with myself and Liz, and lots of great stories. Liz will be back with us in a couple of weeks' time. So goodbye from Liz.
Goodbye.
And I'll be back a little bit later on with the entertainment segment.